I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. But we really, really like self-care for yourself. What did you do this week for self-care?
So this week for self-care, I actually went to see The Phantom of the Opera.
How was it?
Oh my God.
I've never even seen the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So I love Emmy Rossum.
Yeah. I was going to say, have you ever seen Shameless?
Yeah.
The big sister is...
Let's be honest. Shameless was good until she left.
And then she was kind of carrying the show.
Yeah.
But so she was like the main character in Phantom of the Opera, which is like wild. Who knew she could sing like that?
Yeah, she...
I mean, I guess actors... do that, but yeah, we saw it at the Buell Theater, and the singers were like insane.
That's amazing.
I've seen Phantom of the Opera before, like, you know, like live as like a play.
Yeah,
this was like epic.
Do they do a magic trick at the end?
What,
where he's sitting there and they put a blanket over him?
No.
Okay.
There were definitely some like optics, and it was, but like the singers were like incredible. So incredible. Like,
that's so awesome.
I was literally getting like goosebumps and like tearing up kind of thing. And I was like, why am I like crying right now?
Why am I feeling this music?
Why do I love it so much? And like Steven had never seen Phantom of the Opera. Like, so he didn't know like any of the songs.
Oh yeah. I mean, same.
So good. So then like the next day he's like all singing. He's like, the Phantom of the Opera is here.
Well, I know that one. I've like heard that one.
My mind. And like he was just singing it like all day. But it was so fucking good.
That's awesome.
Like, wow. I was like blown away. It was amazing. The entire cast was stunning. And like the sets were amazing. The chandelier that came down. Oh my God. I was like so
excited.
Was this
at the Ellie Calkins?
It was at the Buell.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So it was.
That sounds awesome.
Oh my God. It was such a treat. And then we like went to this restaurant before. It was called like Rioja, I think, or something like that. Rioja. And it's on Larimer. And so their chef makes everything.
It sounds familiar, like the name of it.
But they make their own pasta.
Ooh.
And they made this amazing, like, it's like, honestly, like, I dream about this dish. Artichoke tortellini. Oh, my God.
Should we go after this?
Oh, so good. It was so good. Like, truly.
I love shit.
It was,
like
one of those, like, dishes where you're like, I don't even want to, like, finish this because I just want to, like, savor every bite. It was so good. So that was our little date night.
Yeah.
we had a really good time, and yeah, I got to kind of introduce Steven to Phantom of the Opera because my grandma Punky was obsessed. Well, she wasn't obsessed, but she was the one who showed me Phantom of the Opera, and I feel like she was also the one who kind of like got me into like theater things.
Yeah,
like watching theater. Like,
yeah,
I don't do theater obviously, but
my brother
like
did.
Cats. Oh my God. Do you remember Cats? Are you kidding me?
Never seen Cats.
Oh my God. Cats was so good.
I heard the movie was shit.
Well, the new movie with Taylor Swift was shit, probably.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. But the old movie from like where they filmed it on Broadway.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I literally just wanted to be a cat.
And I loved Cats.
Everybody.
Remember my dad?
Everybody.
Remember my dad at my wedding speech talked about how I loved Cats and everyone was really confused. I'm like, well, you guys didn't know.
You're like, I love the Broadway play Cats.
There was side of me.
Everyone's wearing spandex. They're crawling around like cats. It's kind of hard to describe.
It feels, I'll be honest, like you're making it sound kind of horrible.
Making it sound like the fucking worst, but if
they crawl around like cats, you'll love it.
If you're eight, you would love it. Because, like, remember when you would, like, play cats? Like, you would pretend to be, like, a cat or a dog.
Well, we would get in fights at recess because I always wanted to play cats. And some girls wanted to play bunnies.
And, like, what cat did you want to be? Like, what was your, like, color of your fur?
I wanted to be a white cat.
Of course, like, me too.
Yeah.
Like Marie from Aristocrats.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I mean.
She's distinguished.
Who else? Who else was I going to be? A tabby?
A tabby.
A calico?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Get the fuck out of here. But then I got a little bit weirder and I wanted to be a black cat. Around, like, of course, in October.
With, like, some yellow eyes, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't, I mean, like, what is this? Hello? Amateur hour? Yeah, so
you get it. So I feel like you would like cats.
I do like that we both wanted to be the same cat, and then
I
around
think we would have been friends as children.
Oh, we 100% would.
Let me see when Cats was made. Hold on, Cats Broadway, like VHS. It was definitely on VHS.
But there was a song in Aristocats.
1998. Like, see, it's the time of, like, when we were, like, heyday playing
It's the
cats.
Time for feline.
You would love it. It's so good. And there's, like, good songs. And there's, like, this one cat who's, like, kind of shabby. And she's, like, sad. And she sings, like, a really good song. You would like it.
So my...
Maybe watch it with your nieces.
I'll watch it with them. My albums on my, like, Facebook. Or not Facebook. It's like memories, like Google images pop up every so often.
Oh, that's a song that she sings.
What?
Memory, all alone in the moonlight.
Oh, that's from Cats.
Blah, blah, I don't know the words. Yeah.
In School Rock, she sings that.
She's a sad tabby cat because she's like, no one loves her and she doesn't have a home.
I mean, I'll love her even though I just made fun of tabbies.
I know.
Orange cats are crazy. I want a Maine Coon, but.
Oh my God.
Your brother
wants. It's like a cougar.
Yeah, but your brother and like my mom animal. Won't get the shots.
Rude. Your mom allergic?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maine Coons have a lot of fur. Like, that would be very sheddy.
I might vacuum more.
You're like, buy me a vacuum and a Maine Coon.
A girl might vacuum more.
It'll happen.
I'll pull it out more than once a week. It's fine.
Anyways, I feel like you'd love cats.
Okay.
And probably Phantom of the Opera. Like, oh. It's like, I am rooting for the Phantom, even though he's, like, a little bit deranged and evil.
There are some things where you're, like, not supposed to be cheering for them, but you kind of
But I'm kind of like, but, like, I could fix him. You know what I mean? Like, like, I was telling Steven that I was like, but, like, hear me out. And he was like, no, he's a psycho. And
also,
I was
you're like, married.
I was like, but... He lives under the theater and he tells people what to do and he's a little bit scary, but like he's a softy at heart.
Yeah, you just gotta get him in a softy mood.
He loves music.
Yeah.
Oh, give him a fucking break.
I didn't know liking music made him a villain.
Sorry, he had a circus freak accident.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault.
God.
It was everyone else's.
Anyways. Phantom of the Opera, you should see it. It's really good. What did you do?
I saw Jess. We hung out and we were at Target and I was like looking at books because it's like, you know me, lately I've been a book person. And there was like these books. One was called like The Boyfriend. One was called The Teacher. And one was called The Coworker. And I was like, these look amazing.
Wait, it was like a series?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Jess was like, oh, they're really good. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I start picking them up. She's like, oh, I have them.
Oh.
So I went over to her apartment and dropped her off. And
are they spicy books?
Kind of, but not like crazy. Like they're thrillers.
Oh.
And they were I read The Boyfriend so far and like the ending I was like poof, like
ooh,
my mind was blown.
Okay.
It was super good.
Ooh, I want that.
Yeah.
Trade me.
I will.
Did you read The Chemist one?
No, I need to. I have books all around my house. It's fucking crazy.
I literally have piles of books everywhere where I'm like, I'll read this one.
I'll get in moods, though, where I'll read them in 2 days.
Yeah.
Then, like, I'll be like, next week, I'll be like, read it. And you'll be like, oh, shit. Okay.
I need more, like, like stories. Like I need, yeah. I need like a good story.
I like to be like, oh my God. Like
how to be psychic.
Step one.
Sometimes it's boring and I'm like, anyways.
I read it. I got a book called Assholes and I was like, oh, cool. And it was literally like the like mathematical way to decide if somebody's an asshole. It was boring.
Gross.
It was so boring.
See, I just go off vibes.
Thank you.
I don't need math to tell. Ew. Math?
But it's like how to navigate. And I'm like, I'm not doing math to navigate. No. Sorry. To tell,
like, am I adding their fucking birth chart up? Like, what?
I don't.
How do you even do that?
Now I'm tired thinking about it.
I hate it.
I'm going to go over there and lay down.
I'm just going to be intuitive about it. But a fucking asshole. I can tell immediately upon meeting.
I read the boyfriend so far and I'm going to read the coworker next. But are they killing people?
Like, what's the premise? Thriller in what way? Like, people dying?
Yeah.
Okay. Murders.
Yeah, of course. Obviously. But not a lot. But there's just like
slight murder.
There's a twist and you're like, oh my God. Oh. And you think you know the twist, but you never
but
know.
But you don't know the twist. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because you're like, oh,
I
come
like
on.
It when they can like
surprise you.
Because sometimes I'm like, I fucking called it.
Well, you think you know the character and you're not wrong, but you're not quite
right. You're not
right.
Quite right.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's a good one. So.
Okay. Give me that one.
Okay.
Okay.
Justin, Nay's borrowing your books too.
Borrowing it.
Okay, so what are you telling me about this week?
Okay.
Because you've been really excited about it.
I've been so excited. So, okay, I was scrolling Instagram, as you do.
Yeah.
And I came across this post by this account. I don't follow them. I should probably follow them. Men's Beings Happy.
That sounds like it sounds, Men's Beings Happy.
Men's Beings Happy. I don't know. And they had this like sort of, they had a picture of a man in a mullet with a mullet like in court, and over top of it, it was like a news flash kind of thing. And it was like the title across it said, in 1993, a man caused a huge flood to stop his wife from coming home so he could keep partying. And I was like, is this fucking AI?
What?
And I was like intrigued. So I'm like, that's kind of silly. And then I like scroll like the next picture because it's like the next picture was the flood. And I was like, oh, that's not just like a, I was thinking like maybe he flooded his house.
Yeah. Like the basement has like an inch of water and you're like, gross.
He flooded like two cities. Like it was like an aerial view. And there were several bridges that were like.
Where is he getting the water?
Underwater.
Where is he getting the water, Danae?
Well, I'm about to tell you. So I was like, okay, I need to know more about this. So then I'm like Googling this guy's name, James Robert Scott. And I found one of my favorite podcasts, Criminal, had done.
Also, that guy has three first names.
See, we're like on the same wavelength.
Yeah. Larry David, David Larry.
David Larry, Scott, James Robert.
Yeah.
James Robert Scott. Anyways, so I found like several things about this guy. Well, yeah. A lot of things, actually. Sure. But I found that one of my favorite podcasts, Criminal, had done an episode on this guy in 2017. And I was like,
well, let me listen.
So I listened and because I love Phoebe Judge. Like,
she has a very soothing voice.
Top notch.
I'm Phoebe Judge.
And this. It's criminal. Yeah, so good. And then there was also, I listened to The Dollop, which is like kind of like a comedy podcast where like I think they're comedians. They like tell each other stories. And
I listened to Two Hot Takes. That's my like,
I don't really listen, but I had searched his name and I was like, oh, these are two podcasts that I know.
By all means, if you enjoy them in one.
And then I also like found like a YouTube video by Vice and then like another article by like the Columbia, Missis.
This doesn't even sound like a story I think I've ever heard.
I've never heard this because I was like, okay. I'm sorry, you flooded like a lot of land and did like billions of dollars in damage.
I mean, so I don't want a flood near me. Thank you.
But what I didn't know is that, like, you know, there's always, like, more to the story.
Always. Always.
Than the headline. So, I did some research, and basically this guy caused a major flood in the area of, like, the Mississippi River, and on the Mississippi River, like where the towns of Quincy, Illinois and West Quincy, Missouri are. So they're like across the river.
Okay. Okay.
And so I was like, what the, how do you even cause a flood like this? Like
my, where did you get the water again?
Yeah, I have questions and I need answers. So James Robert Scott was born November 20th, 1969, Scorpio.
Listen,
tracks. Just kidding.
Okay,
I knew you misunderstood
the way you said. I was like, okay, well, we're gonna be rude about it. Listen, here's my thing. I'm a Scorpio, but I was also born on Halloween, so I win.
Well, you're kind of like Cusper, like the beginning Scorpio. Yeah. You know,
with a Libra.
Yeah.
Do we like Libras? Just kidding. Oh, we love you, Katie. A Libra.
I'm a Libra rising, so we love a Libra. And my dad was a Libra.
Oh, yeah, he was.
I love Libras.
I'm trying to think of, like, others.
I've got a really good friend who's a Libra. Anyways.
That's true. We have Katie. Katie's a Libra.
He grew up in Quincy, Illinois.
Okay.
And at the time when he was born, it only had a 45,000 people population.
Do we know in relation to Chicago, how far that is?
To Chicago? I don't know.
Yeah, because when people say Illinois,
wherever
I'm
the
like,
river is. So Mississippi's here.
Okay.
They're like separated by that.
Okay.
Illinois. Missouri. They're connected by
the
Bay.
I went on
a
river tour, so I was wondering if like Bayview that had anything Bridge to do with it.
Okay, so he's James Jimmy, he's described in his early life as like, he's an average student, he's athletic, whatever, like, he's a kid. And in 1982, so he had two brothers.
Good
so
year, 1982.
He's a middle child also.
Yeah, we hate middle children.
Middle children, Scorpios. But his older brother, Mike, is 13. Jimmy was 12, and his youngest brother, Jeff, was only 11.
So they're, like, real close in
they're
age.
They're close.
Yeah, so mom was
getting after it.
Girl, take a break. Take a break.
It's fine.
That's exhausting.
So they're yikes close. They're hanging out. They're kind of, like, they're the boys that would go in the neighborhood and, like, doorbell dish people, which is, like, normal childhood
that
behavior.
Sounds like your brothers.
Exactly. Like, that's what you do.
Yeah.
However,
let's be so honest, people lately have been so pissed about kids doorbell ditching, and I'm like, I'd honestly prefer that than them, like,
kind of funny.
It's,
we have Ring doorbells now, so you can, yeah, see them. And also,
I think it's like harmless.
Are you coming to the door to answer every doorbell ring? No, I hide. If the doorbell rings, I'm concerned.
If you're coming over,
anyone who knows, like, me knows how to do the knock and then walk in. If you're ringing my
unless your door's locked, which I tried earlier,
you're a fucking stranger. I don't know you.
Yeah, I'm not going to the door. Yeah,
I'm not gonna answer that.
Like, that's why there were serial killers, because people would answer doors. Like, miss me with that.
And you have a Ring doorbell, so you know it's fucking children, like, giggling, yeah, like, hee-hee, and then they run away, like, chill
that's
out.
What I'm saying. Like, there's been, like, some stuff. Maybe I'm on the wrong side of TikTok where they're like, these kids are doorbell ditching and I'm about to call
it's
the police.
So rude. I'm like, how about get a life?
How about, like, go along your day?
How about drink a margarita?
I'd rather they do that than, like,
meth?
Yeah, than meth. Not where I was going, but, like, yeah.
But, like,
it's fine.
Doorbell ditching is so harmless.
Yeah. So they're just doorbell
and
ditching.
And the more that you react to it,
the more
they're going to, like, that's target
you. That's what they want.
They're children, you dumb,
yeah,
idiot.
Yeah, people like to.
Do you remember when you were a child? Like, hello.
There was somebody who recently called me dramatic, and I was like, I mean, yeah. And they were like, but that's not fun. I'm like.
Or is it?
Well, it's not.
Or is it?
Well, they didn't get a reaction.
Or is it,
like,
the most fun?
But they were like, oh, that's not fun, because they didn't get the reaction of me being like, I'm not dramatic. I'm like, I'm very dramatic. Like, you're welcome.
You're like, yeah, I own it.
And thank they're like, you. Well, that's not fun. I'm like, yeah, sorry you didn't get me freaking out.
Okay, 12-year-old. So, okay.
Go on, sorry.
So they're doing, like,
kid stuff.
Kid stuff. Yeah. However, in 1982, they broke into an old elementary school that had been shut down.
Okay, that's a little bit of an escalation right there.
maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
So they broke into Webster Elementary School, and they're just kind of like wandering the empty halls, which would kind of be exciting, right? Like,
we did see some kids that were trying to break into the elementary school down the street from us. You could see that.
Yeah. Like, as in the mind of a 12, 13, and 11-year-old, you break into a school and you're like, hee-hee-hee, and it's like, the halls are echoing.
Like, you shouldn't do that, but like, as long as you're just walking down the halls and you're just like looking around, that's fine.
Fine.
Yeah. Do you, I suppose.
Jimmy remembers stealing a big red kickball. He thought it was really neat. Then they make their way to the theater. And they're like, oh my God, we've like been in school plays here, whatever. And
they went to this school?
They're in the school. They're in the theater.
And it is an abandoned school.
It's abandoned school.
It had so been it's not even down. Like summer break.
No, it's like, it's old as fuck. I think it was born in, it was born. It was built in like 1904.
I have to say this. I would love to do that.
It like, seems haunted.
Like if my old school was abandoned, I would 100% as a like, kid walk in
we
it.
Get the allure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So anyways.
Sorry, I was just like, wait, no, is it just like, summer break or is it like
no, but fully? We like get it. So they're in the theater. Jimmy and Mike, they're like, we're going to smoke some cigarettes. And so, 13 and 12, just.
See, doorbell ditching is better. Doorbell ditching is better than smoking cigarettes.
Why are you smoking cigarettes? You're fucking children. So anyways, they're smoking their cigarettes.
Where did they get the cigarettes? Question number one.
I think at that point, like, wasn't it one of those things where it's like your mom could send you to like the 7-Eleven?
I thought that was more the 60s and 70s, not the 80s, but who knows?
I have no idea. Anyways.
Sorry. I'm worried about the wrong things.
They're excited.
Yeah.
They're like, we're grown-ups smoking cigarettes. And then little Jeff, the youngest, he's like, I want one too. And
wait,
like,
so there's three kids?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jimmy, Mike.
So Mike is the oldest.
Yes.
Jimmy's the middle.
Okay.
Scorpio. And then Jeff is the youngest.
Okay. I didn't know it was all three of them.
All three of them.
Okay.
They're rambunctious, to say the least. So they're smoking their cigarettes. Little Jeff is like, I want one. And the older two are like, no. And he's like, fine, let me hold a lighter. And they're like, fine. And then, like, I dare you to light the curtain on fire. And he's like, fuck you. And
say
so,
less.
And so he does it. So he holds the lighter to the curtain. And, you know, it's probably, like, polyester or something. It just, like, fucking lights up. And they're like, ah! And they're, like, trying to stomp it out. But they can't stomp it out. And then it's, like, it's...
Right when you said he wanted to hold the lighter. I was it's like, go, what's he
it's
light
too
on
fast. And it's spreading. And they're like,
yeah,
we gotta bail. So they fucking leave. And they're like... Guys,
tell no one.
We will never tell anyone about this. So, the entire school burnt to the ground. Like, they had, like, four or five different, like, fire departments working on this all night, trying to get the fire out. And a total of 100,000 square feet was destroyed.
Here's my question. Are we going to find out how... this came to light about how these boys found out the boys were the ones that burned down the school. Cause I'm sure they went home and said, say nothing.
Yeah. So they're all like, don't say shit.
Yeah.
But 3 days later, the police come knocking at the Scott family home and they're like, we need to talk. So the police had been talking with the teachers of where they actually went to school, like not the school that obviously was burnt down and was closed. And they're like, hey, let us know if like, children are being suspicious. And so, of course, the Scott brothers are like, don't be suspicious. No, be suspicious.
But let's tell our best friends and only them.
They're being very suspicious.
Yeah.
Because, like, kids aren't good at lying.
No.
And so...
have you heard the thing with kids? You tell them, like, a red dot will appear on their nose when they're lying. So kids will be like, yeah, no, I didn't eat the cookies. And they cover their nose because...
it's a
kids.
Little bit like New Age Pinocchio.
Or the thing where they're like, if he's really asleep, or kids are pretending to sleep, I'll hold up his hand, and if he's really asleep, it'll stay up.
And then they like keep it up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's my favorite thing.
Children.
Tricking kids.
They are not good liars. So the police questioned the boys separately. They all confessed, like, immediately, because they're children. And Mike got probation till he was 18. Which is, like, kind of a lot. He was 13 at the time.
Like, I wonder what his conditions of probation were as a kid.
I have no idea. Jimmy was moved to a youth home for the remainder of the school year.
Whoa, what?
And Jeff, the youngest, was sent to live with a foster family. So, like...
Oh, shit. I feel like Mike got off the easiest.
Yeah. So, by August of 1982, all the boys were finally... They're back at home. Sharon Scott, their mother, was basically, like... I don't want to say, like, outcast from the town, but, like, basically... People knew her. People knew her kids. And they were like, you suck at being a parent. And they would like fucking say that to her face in like the grocery store. And then
in the 80s, it was normal to not see your kids all day. And they're stupid kids.
Like all the kids in town were like not allowed to hang out with the Scott brothers. Oh. Especially Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because basically the judge of the juvenile court had determined that Jimmy was the mastermind behind the entire elementary school fire, because I guess he was the one who had dared Jeff to light the curtain on fire. Which and is I'm sorry, you're children.
Like, everyone wasn't thinking.
Wrong.
Yes.
And I don't think they really even knew how fucked up it was until, like, they were like, oh no, the whole school's burnt down. Like,
think of all the stupid shit you did.
Yeah, I mean, I never been burnt a school down.
No, like, I know, but like lapse of judgment.
There's a lot of like
somebody's gonna tell you, you're not gonna do it. I'll show you exactly, you know, that kind of thing.
So it just kind of like escalated really quickly.
It shouldn't have happened. It should not have happened.
Really, really bad.
Yeah, it
should not have happened. So, anyways, Jimmy's reputation as the town bad boy had basically been like solidified at this point. And unfortunately,
I kind of want to be the bad boy in town.
During his teen years, he didn't really like help that reputation. So he was a bit of a pyro.
The fact that he had to go to a group home shows that he showed no remorse. And I'm telling you, that is all what the judge looks at, is your remorse and like if you're going to do something to like change your act around.
Okay, remember that, because we'll get back to that at the end.
Okay, sure. But that's all I'm saying is
remember,
like,
remorse, because we need... Let's come back to that later.
Remorse is the word.
Yes. Okay. So he likes fires. He likes starting them. He likes looking at them. He loves a fire, which is like also a little bit concerning.
Well,
because, you know,
the triad. Yeah. There we are.
At 17, the Quincy Police Department knew him well.
Okay, so he was committing he's little like a regular. Things.
And they're like,
oh, that Jimmy.
This fucking guy. And so, especially Detective Neil Baker and his younger brother, Detective Bruce Baker. So, like, the Baker brothers know Jimmy and they're like, this fucking kid. Because, like, at this point, it's also like, it's a small town and, like,
are those two cops?
Yeah, there weren't, like, things really that were like big crimes. So yeah. Jimmy being kind of like the arson of the town, like it's kind of like easy. And
also, if there's a fire that happens,
they're like, it's fucking Jimmy.
Yeah.
Like,
which would kind of suck if you didn't actually.
And we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
So
look at me. I win.
So the Baker brothers, the detective Baker brothers, they linked him to several fires. One was a car wash. One was a local garage. He had set fire to an apartment of a woman who had rejected his advances. Like, things aren't looking good for Jimmy.
Yeah.
At 17. This hey is guys, at 17.
Don't burn down somebody's apartment if they don't want to date you.
Like, why are we burning things down?
Like, you're going to be fine.
We should relax on burning things down.
Yeah.
Get a fire pit.
Find something that does like you.
Like a bonfire.
Yeah.
I don't know, like a contained fire, a safe contained fire.
I just think about how much fire like hazards we have right now.
Okay.
So sorry, guys. I had a flashback.
By 17, he committed not only like arson on many levels, but also like some petty crimes. He'd stolen some stuff, whatever. He got a 7-year sentence for those fires, but he only served 3. So, yeah, everyone at this point is like, this guy is like the town criminal. Like, if something bad happens, the police were immediately at his door being like, Jimmy,
That sucks, what'd though, if somebody's like,
I know, and especially they want to, like, be bad as an adolescent. Like, I don't know, like, people make bad decisions when their brains aren't fully developed, and to be, like, kind of on the hook for that reputation for, like, the rest of your life kind of sucks.
Oh, yeah. Like, 100%. Yeah,
sorry, I was a shitty kid. My bad. But now everyone just thinks of you as that. And they're like, well, you're a fucking criminal.
You'll never amount to anything. Exactly. You're always going to be a bad kid.
Exactly. So when he got out of prison in 1988, he was on parole, but he got a steady job at Burger King. He married a woman named Susie. She worked across the Mississippi River on the Missouri side. Okay. So he lived in Illinois. She worked in Missouri, but she worked at a truck stop, and they basically, like, fell in love because they were, like, dancing at the local bar, and then they would, like, go to the river and, like, have deep talks. And so whatever.
Sometimes you have deep talks by the river.
And you know what? That's fine. And you should.
It's romantic. To only have deep talks by the river.
And bring a bottle of wine. Thank you.
Yeah.
One time, Steven and I, when he lived downtown, we, like, went on a bike ride by the Platte, and we brought a bottle of wine, and we didn't have, like, an opener. And
that's always the problem.
Homeless guys helped us open it, like, in their homeless, like, ways. They, like, smashed it, but, like, so that the glass wouldn't get into the bottle.
Okay.
And we were, like, talking with them, and they were kind of like, yeah, we're not, like, homeless, you know, because we, like, don't have money. It's, like, a lifestyle choice. And I was like, okay.
I wish that was, like, the, like, how everyone was, like, because they wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, wow.
Did okay. you share some wine with them?
Of course. Duh.
I love that.
Okay. So anyways, Jimmy enjoyed hanging out. He's married, whatever. He's working at BK Lounge. He enjoyed hanging out with his half-brother, Dan, at his house after work. And, like, they would kind of, like, get after it. They would drink a case of beer a night.
So this is Jimmy?
Yeah.
How's Dan a half-brother?
Don't know.
Okay. Because I'm like, did mom find somebody? And they sound like they're close in age.
They're close. So. And they're, like, you know, buddies, kind of.
Okay. So
half-brother, he would go to Dan's house, and he'd be like, let's fucking party. And Dan would be like, hell yeah, brother. And they would party. So.
So now he's Hulk Hogan.
So, okay. We're jumping to 1993. Now this, if you lived in along the Mississippi River in Illinois or Missouri, you would know that this was a year where there was, like, insane amounts of precipitation.
I wish that was here.
It was, like, 200% more than they would usually get.
That's a lot.
They had, like, all these, like, levees that were built for, like, 17 feet of water, but they were getting, like, 30 feet of water.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. Like, it's a fucking problem. And everyone's freaking out.
Do you remember the flooding in Lyons, Colorado that one year? That was insane.
Yeah. So this is, like, a whole summer of this where they're just, like, it's raining, raining, raining. They're trying to basically, like, save the levees so that they can contain the water.
Yeah.
So the land was saturated. The river was overflowing. And everyone's just like, oh, my God, trying to keep this shit together. So over, like, more than 1,000 levees failed that summer along the Mississippi River.
That's a lot of levees that are failing.
And the Missouri River. Because they just weren't built for that amount of water because it's not
normal. Well, who'd have thought that would happen?
Yeah. So 20 million acres were destroyed. And 500 counties were flooded. Jesus. That was $15 billion in damage. Like,
who's paying for 90s, that?
Yeah. In the 90s.
I don't so, even want to know now.
Where Jimmy lived in Quincy, which was on the Illinois side, that was up high. Like, there were, like, limestone cliffs, and so it was a little bit more elevated. So it was a little bit safer than a lot of the other cities that were along the Mississippi.
Okay.
Because they were lower. And so the city, like, it's the sister city, which was across the Bayview Bridge, was called West Quincy. And that was on the Missouri side. That was, like, struggle bus central. Like, they were like, oh my God, if we don't, like, figure this out, like, all of this farmland, all of these businesses, all of these people's homes are going to be demolished.
We're going to have people that are, like, not able to, like, live.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, it's like midsummer. The levee in Quincy just like wasn't, it wasn't tall enough. So like I said, they're expecting like 30 feet of water. This levee's built for like 17, 20 feet of
water. Yeah, yeah.
So basically what they did was they would bulldoze dirt from the bottom all the way up. So like if you think about it, it's like kind of this like valley, right? And they're just basically making it thinner and thinner at the top.
Okay.
To make it taller.
Yeah.
Because they just don't have anything to really...
They're doing the best they can with what they got.
They're doing the best they can. And so they're making it taller and skinnier. Not necessarily stronger.
Water is really powerful. So they lined it
with like plastic sheets. And then they would pile up sandbags on top of that to try to prevent the flooding.
That's hard. It's hard to fix when it's like, already happening. Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing the best you can.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not hating on them. I'm just like, what other options?
It's like a fucking disaster waiting to happen. Oof. So July 12th, 1993, 24-year-old Jimmy, he had joined the community volunteer group where like everyone's, it was basically like an all hands on deck situation.
Yeah.
They had the National Guard come in. They had a whole bunch of paramedics. They had like, basically anyone who was like able-bodied, they were like, we need your help.
Please help.
Please come down and help. So he joined the volunteer force and he's like packing sandbags. He's looking for areas of weakness within the levee. Like he's doing his...
Okay. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
He's working hard.
Exactly. And so like, he was kind of like, you know, like... One, he really actually enjoyed the volunteer work. Like, it made him feel useful. He was feeling good about himself. He was like, yeah. Like,
people were probably not treating him like
the town reject.
Yeah.
And so he was really hopeful that basically he could kind of like
redeem himself.
Yeah. Like, turn his reputation around. Like, people viewed him as this like adolescent, like, you know, teenage dirtbag, and here he is, like,
I'm just a really teenage dirtbag baby.
So he's trying to like be like, okay, I'm like an adult, I've kind of turned a leaf, I'm like trying to help this community, I'm showing up, I'm like putting in the work, maybe people will see me in a different light.
Sure.
And so that wasn't the case.
See, you like, tricked me. I thought this was going to be a happy story.
So on July 13th, a West Quincy engineer said that the levee could hold 32 feet of water, but the level was at 31.9. So like, we're close. We're really close.
If it snows, cute. If it rains, yikes.
Bad. And Jimmy was even saying like, you know, the... like top of the levee, it wasn't all like one standard like height. It was kind of like up and down.
Well,
and up,
sure, because it was just quickly man-made.
And,
yeah,
and they're kind of trying to like, oh, is this area like letting more water in? Pile more up there. Is this, you know, a little bit stronger? Like we can do a little less.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, July 14th, after a day of volunteer work, Jimmy did his usual routine. He goes over to his half-brother Dan's house. He's, like, working on a case of beer. And he,
on a case of beer.
They're, like, people would usually, like, come over to Dan's house. Like, it was kind of like a, I don't know, like, people were kind of, like, in and out. It was a hangout spot. And so he was playing some basketball with some teenagers. Specifically, 16-year-old Joe Flax, who was telling, and he was kind of like, yeah, I was like working on the levee all day, like here's what happened, you know, just kind of like shooting the shit,
talking about his day, like,
yeah. And it's kind of like, this is like top of mind, like everyone is like, oh my god, the floods. So this is like big news in the town, so like everyone's thinking about it, and they're kind of like,
and I'm sure they've all been affected by it, too.
Of course. I mean, everyone has a stake in this. It's like, if this floods, like, we're fucked.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of, the boys are kind of like, oh, my God, like, that's so cool. You're volunteering. And they're like, do you think that, like, the levee's going to hold? Do you think it's going to be okay? And according to Joe, Jimmy this sounds like a joke. He said that if the levee broke, there'd be some really good catfishing. And he hoped that his wife, Susie, would get stranded on the other side of the Mississippi so he could party some more without her. So this is a real key point. Like, remember how at the beginning that news thing that I saw, that headline was literally like, guy floods town so he can party. Like, this piece of information is very pivotal in this entire story.
Yeah. Were they all like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, were they all like, that's weird thing to say? Or were they
I think they all just kind of laughed. I think it was kind of like, that's like a joke.
Well, I just wonder if they were like, that was a weird thing to say, or if they're like, yeah, it makes sense, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but that's what Joe Flax's account was.
Okay.
So July 16th, 1993, this is the day where the water was going up. Jimmy went down to the Bayview Bridge to help the National Guardmen to, like, inspect levee walls, make sure, like, you know, again, sort of just, like, looking for areas that are weaker, trying to, like, solidify everything. He found a spot that had more leakage than others, and he went to go tell someone in charge. So he found Sergeant Duke Kelly around 2 p.m. The sergeant was like, oh, yeah, show me the area. They start walking towards it, and then the sergeant's like, oh, this is a low-priority area. Like, we're really focusing on, like, south of the Bay Bridge.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
There's got to be areas like, where it's so more
if
important.
So if it continues...
Like, let us know.
Let us know, but, like, this is not really, like...
Priorities over there.
Priority.
Sure, sure.
And so Jamie's like, cool, cool, cool. He reinforced the weak spot with some more sandbags, and then he left that spot.
Was he alone?
I guess, yeah.
That's crazy.
I think there were two guys, but they kind of went in separate directions to cover like a mile of area. Yeah.
Let's split up, guys.
Exactly. And so he reinforced it, and then he left the spot and went to help the Coast Guard unload boats from a truck.
Okay.
Okay. The levee broke. So there is a 100-foot gap that opened and like basically decimated 14,000 acres.
I'm sorry, but you saying the levee breaking makes me think of like Led Zeppelin. There's a really good Led Zeppelin song called When the Levee Breaks, and it's literally like playing in my head. It's really good.
So anyways, Jimmy, like, people heard it break. Yeah. Jimmy said he heard the levee break, like, it, you could hear the water rushing. I mean, it's got to be terrifying.
That had to be really, yeah, really scary.
It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, we better get
it. I mean, it would be scary, I guess, if you're not, like, intentionally doing that.
Sure. So there was actually, not only was it flooding, like, an insane amount, but also there was a point where a barge was sucked into the levee and then slammed into a gas station.
A barge?
A barge. And then it started a fire. So I think that's, like, part of a, like, the thing that blocks it.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I was like, what is that? Just in case.
Yeah, let me just double check, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it is. So it's a long, flat-bottom boat designed for transporting, heavy goods along rivers and canals. So it was actually, like, a boat thing, and it sort of, like, as the levee broke, like, if you're thinking of, like, the water all flowing out to flood,
sure,
this thing is sitting here, and then it gets sucked into the flood.
Oh,
there's a fuel station here. It runs into the gas station and explodes. So not only is there a huge flood happening, there is now a fuel fire
destruction happening too.
So, like,
Jesus,
this is not like a, there's a flood. This is like a fucked up catastrophe, destruction everywhere.
Like a school burning.
It's insane.
To the ground kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but miraculously, there were absolutely no casualties. Not one person was hurt.
Okay, thank God.
Which is like...
great.
Amazing.
But
also, all of our land and homes and businesses are destroyed.
So...
yeah. So he was about to, like, head home, Because, like, at a certain point, it's like, well, what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah.
And there was a news reporter who was, like, on the scene. She's, like, you know, taking the live news. And she stopped him, and she's like, oh, my God, what happened? He tells her about, like, what he did, what he saw, how things kind of went down. Now, you remember Detective Neil Baker, the one.
Him and his brother.
Him and his brother.
Yeah.
Who were always like, Jesus Christ, Jimmy, can you stop burning things down? He's sitting at home. He's watching the news.
Well, think about it this way. He was burning stuff down. Now he's flooding stuff. It's like he's trying to fix his sins.
So he sees Jimmy on his news screen and he's like.
And his senses are like.
His hackles are up. They're up. And he's like, this fucking guy. And so, of course, he assumed the worst. He's like, there's no fucking way that Jimmy
is a hero.
Was there to help.
Like,
absolutely not.
Miss me with that.
Yeah. And in his mind, he basically, like, already decided that Jimmy had something to do with this.
I mean, do I blame him? Not really.
But we'll get there. Okay. So he said it was a hot day. You know, it's like summer, it's July. And he's like, Jimmy didn't look sweaty enough.
Okay.
He's not wearing a life vest. He's like, oh, the interviewer's asking him questions and he sounds like he's just bursting at the seams to hide something. I'm like, and then you listen to the interview and it's literally like so fucking basic. He's like, yeah, I like packed some sandbags out. Like, I don't know.
He didn't seem guilty.
To me, it seemed like a regular guy just like doing an interview, but like whatever.
What do you know?
I'm not Detective Baker. So
you're like, not Detective Dene.
He's like, this is suspicious. Oh, fucking trust this guy.
Like, I get it, but I'm also like, bro, come on.
So he's already basically made his decision that he thinks that Jimmy's like the one who did this. Mm-hmm. Now, Sheriff Bob Nall, he's on the Illinois side. So Detective Baker's on the Missouri side, the Quincy, Missouri side, mm-hmm. where Jimmy's from. Sheriff Bob Nall is on the West Quincy side, which is the Illinois side. And he doesn't know Jimmy at all. But he sees this interview and he's like, I have questions and I need answers. So he's like, this guy is like one of the only kind of like eyewitnesses of the levee breaking. He's also like one of the last people who was reinforcing it before it broke. Like, I need to talk to this guy. So the next day, July 17th, Jimmy gets interrogated for the first time. It's like late at night. Sheriff Bob Nall shows up and he's like, we need to talk. And Jimmy's like,
I'm so tired.
About what? And he's like, you know. And Jimmy's like, I don't.
Oh, and I do? Okay, cool.
They take him down to the station, and his wife, Susie, goes with him, because she's like, that's my husband. And they go down there, and they interrogate him for, like, who knows how long. And he comes out of the interrogation room, and he's like, they think I fucked up the levee. And Susie's like, what? Like, did you? And he's like, no, of course not. I didn't do that. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They're, like, trying to, like,
Pin this on me. This isn't even my usual crimes.
This is not what I do. So he insisted that he didn't do anything wrong. Now, Sheriff Nall, of course, like, he's investigating. So he's, like, talking to people who talked to Jimmy. He's talking to people that Jimmy knew. And so he comes across Joe Flax, the 16-year-old who was playing basketball with him, who claims that Jimmy was like, I just want to party and, like, I'm going to start a flood. Mind you, Joe Flax at this point was, like, on house arrest. So, like, also, how reliable is he?
Doesn't sound reliable to me.
Like, not to, like, Jimmy's also the town bad boy, but, like, Joe Flax is, like, a 16-year-old town bad boy, so, like, are we believing everything that he says?
Yeah.
You know?
But think about it. Like, everyone is going to take more, I guess, cadence with the side that they're
Going to form their opinions.
Yeah.
How they want.
So anything that's going to back their, like, their opinion, what they already believe.
It's like, yeah, exactly. And so they're like, great, now we have the motive for Jimmy. And so all of this, like, everything that Joe Flack said, like, obviously it's alleged. Like, there's no way to, like, say if that happened or not.
Sure, yeah.
And Jimmy was like, I had no recollection of, like, saying anything like that. He's like, if I did say that, like, it's, like, fully a joke. Like, I love my wife and I would never cheat on her and I would never, like, want her to be, like, in distress stranded across the river because of a flood.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. And so, actually, like, the evening of the flood, Susie was stranded on the other side of the river and Jimmy was not, like, partying because of that. He actually had to, like, take a 5-hour detour because all the bridges were out. So he had to take this, like, 5-hour detour to drive to her to go get her, pick her up, and bring her back home.
Oh, God, that's
scary.
So,
like, he's not, like, partying and trying to, like, sleep with other women and, like, go fishing.
So while what the fuck was this in this,
like,
report?
Natural disaster? Like, yeah. The fuck? So on July 22nd, there are several counties that launched an investigation into the sabotage of the levee. And their main suspect, obviously, was James Robert Scott. So there's no physical evidence because it's washed away in the flood. So, like, what? Okay, so the people that were, like, interviewing Detective Neil Baker were like, so, like, all of this is circumstantial. How is that, like, you know, relevant? And, like, we have no physical evidence against this man. And Detective Neil Baker is like, you know what? I think that, like, that he was like, well, physical evidence, he was physically there. And I think that physical evidence is, like, it's, like, overrated.
I think it's, like, what you need to, like, know that somebody actually did something.
Overrated? Like, he's literally going off of a feeling, just being like,
a rumor.
Well, I know this guy, and I know when he's lying, and I think he fucking did it. Like, what?
Okay, bro. Like,
to say that physical evidence is overrated, I was literally,
is
like,
so ignorant.
I was like, what?
That's ignorant as fuck.
And you're, like, a sergeant or a detective. Like, that's embarrassing. Anyways, so, and okay, and then also, Jimmy had admitted to, like, all of his past crimes. So, like, he was like, yeah, I burnt down a school. Yeah, I had done arson. I've done, like, things in the past that have been mistakes, but I did not do this.
Remorse, like you said.
And so, honestly, I'm just going to say it. I think that Detective Neil Baker is a curmudgeon and he's holding a grudge. And Jimmy never committed a violent crime. He never wanted to, like, hurt anyone. It was always, like,
he just,
like,
was a stupid kid doing stupid kid stuff.
You know, empty garages, empty apartment buildings, or, like, empty whatever. Like, no one, like, his intent was never to, like, kill someone.
No, no.
And, like, even though this levee broke, like, and it didn't kill anyone, it's still, like, that could have been really, like, people definitely could have died.
He's putting a lot of work into it. Why would he want to sabotage
that? And if he was in there and pulled, like, sandbags off or, like, did whatever to sabotage it, would he even have enough time to, like, run away before the water starts rushing in?
No.
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 That's ridiculous. So October 1st, the Baker brothers are, like, waiting for Jimmy to get off his shift at BK Lounge. And they're like, well, we have a reason to believe that he committed a burglary and he wrote bad checks and we just got to bring him in. So they arrest him. And again, Jimmy admitted to stealing a backpack and writing bad checks.
Okay, so.
But they were like, but we've got the levee case. We need to close it. And they're really trying to, like,
It is great. Case. You want to close a case, but like make sure when you're make closing sure it's
fucking
it,
real.
It's the person who did it.
So he's like, yeah, again, not me. And they're like, well, too bad. You're like the perfect guy to blame for this.
Jesus Christ.
So he ended up going to trial. The whole like point of the entire trial was like basically trying to decide, was the levy basically like set up for failure? Like, would it have held regardless of Jimmy being there or not? Like, was it a point in time
where
it was eventually just going to fail?
Yeah.
Or was Jimmy someone who had like done something to sabotage it? And so
I think it would have taken a lot of work to
and
like
a lot of, yeah, like you, and I again think that he would have, if he had done something to let all that water in, they heard it break. All that water came rushing in. Like he would have died trying to do
true,
that.
True. Yeah.
And so Detective Neil Baker testified, calling Jimmy a career criminal. Experts testified saying that the levee was strong and it would have held.
Then why were all hands on deck?
Right.
Why were all hands needed if it was gonna hold?
Mm-hmm. So then Joe Flax, who again was incarcerated at this point, told his recollection of Jimmy's comments on wanting to party without his wife.
Oh, fuck.
Then he says, actually, you know what? Jimmy said he planned it. He said he, like, was gonna make this happen.
Can I say something weird right now?
Yeah.
Okay, Joe Flax sounds close to Joe Flacco.
Who's that?
Who played for the Broncos and fucked us over. So I'm already...
Anyways, I'm triggered.
Yeah. I feel like every time you're going to say Joe Flacco, and I'm going to be like, oh my God, no, not again.
Not him.
So I just want to let you know, I'm already, like, that's why my face is, well, I have RBF, but also, like, I'm mad.
Fuck Joe. So people are pissed. People are obviously upset. Like, this is, like, people's livelihoods have
been
completely taken away.
Yeah. And you're just blaming one person for this?
Isn't it, like, kind of easier to direct your blame and your anger towards one person? Be like, that guy fucking did it.
But he admitted he burned down a school. You think a guy who burned down a school is also going to just not, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So the jury agreed he was guilty. The judge sentenced him to life in prison. Life! People get 6 years for killing someone.
Well, if you remember, I told a story, the Preppy murders.
Yeah.
Where he got more time for his drug charges than he did for murdering her.
Exactly.
And nobody got hurt. And I guess there's damage, but that doesn't mean that was his fault. There was already enough going on. You don't think Mother Nature maybe should be on trial?
Huh? So I just want to include that the insurance company paid for damages because a human had created the disaster. So if you have your regular home insurance.
Okay, I see what's happening.
Your regular home insurance does not cover floods unless you get a special flood insurance.
Well, and also there's acts of God too. And a lot of the time it doesn't cover
that. It doesn't cover natural disasters.
Yeah.
Unless you have flood insurance. Like that is a whole separate. You need to buy flood insurance.
Yeah.
But why would they buy flood insurance? Because like that area doesn't flood.
Well, where we are, that's not typically something we have.
Well, you would never buy flood insurance.
Yeah.
Here. But in Florida?
100%. I was about to say in Florida, California.
Yeah.
Like hurricane prone areas.
For sure.
Are where you're going to be. But that sucked for when we did have
but
a flood.
But no one
here.
Would buy flood insurance.
Yeah.
Because
I wouldn't.
Why would they need it?
No.
So, anyways. They paid out a lot of money. Like, obviously not, like, all of it.
Sure.
But they paid out a lot of money to, like, start bringing things back to what it should have been. So, it helps the entire community to blame it on a man
versus
natural disaster.
It sucks, though, that it's somebody who's kind of, like, he made stupid decisions.
As a
kid. I'm not
going
to say. But, like... You don't need to, like, ruin this man's life, like, so many times.
Yeah.
Because I think the school helped ruin it.
For
and
sure.
This was,
and,
like,
a decision he made at 13, like, that's fucked, dude.
Yeah.
Like.
He shouldn't have done what he did, but.
For sure.
Like,
it was totally
God.
Wrong. It escalated in a way that perhaps they didn't expect. But at the same time, like, to hold someone to that standard for the rest of their life is like
not okay. Like, also, if there was only like two or three guys that were working on that part of it, yeah, there might be some stuff that happens because there's not enough people there.
Right. So anyways, Jimmy's lawyers appealed. They got a new trial in 1998. They had a expert soil scientist this time, R. David Hammer, who testified that when they made the levee taller and thinner, it had no chance of holding.
Yeah.
He said that the levee was bound to fail, like without a doubt. And several civil engineers have commented on this case where they're like shown a map. They're like, if this was the levee and like there was a flood, where would it break?
Why didn't they do that at the beginning?
They point to the same area every time, which is where it did break. Civil engineers, like educated people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all agreed, like, this would have failed. Like, regardless of if Jimmy was there or not, it was a matter of, like, time.
But then they don't have anyone to blame it on.
Exactly. And then they don't have money to pay out with insurance.
Oh, my God.
So, it's just kind of fucked up. And then Hammer, the soil scientist, he even tried to talk to the governor to get Jimmy a pardon. Like, he was so, like, this is not his fault. This is like science and you need to believe me. But there was no such pardon. So regardless, Jimmy was found guilty a second time. The opinions of the community and I think honestly like the media headlines that claim that he wanted to party without his wife like really kind of like did him in. Like,
yeah,
it was kind of the, you know, opinion of the public at that point.
Public opinion.
Yeah.
Court of public
opinion. So he was prosecuted solely on circumstantial evidence. And Jimmy admits, like I said, he's like, yeah, I've done some shitty things in my life, but
not this.
But not this. So he is very adamant. Like, I have not done this. And he's like, if I have to, you know, try to go to court and like say sorry for something that I didn't do and pretend to have remorse for something that I didn't do, I won't fucking do it because I didn't do it. I don't have remorse for something that I did not do.
Yeah, so that's why remorse is the word of the day.
So Jimmy Scott was prosecuted under a 1979 Missouri law that makes it a crime to purposefully cause a catastrophe. So this is like, I think there's like two cases like in the U.S. of like people causing a catastrophe.
Yeah.
And he's held at the Jefferson City Correctional Center. He's been there for over 30 years and he's participated in every class that's been offered to him. He has done an immense amount of growing. He did an intensive therapeutic program that helps inmates deal with drug-related and behavioral problems. He said that one class gave him a, quote, toolbox to better regulate his emotions.
That's important. Like, that's really important.
Don't we all fucking need that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he has trained at least 75 dogs for the Missouri Department of Corrections Puppies for Parole program.
Oh, my dogs did that.
That's so cute. And, like, there's pictures of him, like, with the dogs. Like, it's really cute.
You get to have the dogs stay in your cell. Like, that is a huge, like...
It's like a win-win. It's good for the dogs. It's good for the human.
Well, because, like, when you get out of prison, you have skills. Like, you can train dogs, which is a really well-paying thing. And also,
like, empathy. Like, that's such a, like, huge thing to be able to connect with animals.
So, we did that for Lucky and Tiger. And the guy wrote a diary entry every day of how Lucky was doing. And it was so sweet because he's like... On day one, I let Lucky know that I was going to take really good care of him. And he was such a good boy. And he, like, wrote all this stuff. And I was just like, this guy...
That's so precious.
Loved Lucky.
I mean, who doesn't love a dog?
I think he wrote something like, my last day with Lucky was one of the hardest days. Such a hard goodbye. Oh. We became so close. And I'm just like, I wish we could, like, bring Lucky in to say hi to him. I mean, Lucky passed away. But it was, like, really sweet.
But, like... I think that's such a great, like, program for, like, actually rehabilitating people versus just keeping people locked up in a cell and being like, you did something bad. Fuck you. You're locked away forever.
Yeah. Like, throw away the key. Like, Yeah. That sucks.
So in
they had to have their scapegoat, though.
I know. So in a quote from the Columbia, Missourian News, he said, "I stopped being angry a long time ago because that's not the kind of person I wanted to be. I decided long before that I needed to make changes, and that's what I did." His mom, who had been always 100% on his side, never faltered and always believed him that he was innocent, Sharon, she believed that the police used him as a scapegoat.
Yeah, and that's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, she died in 2022.
Oh, God.
She was like in her 80s, so I mean, she's pretty old.
But I love that she supported him, though, till the end, even though they kind of screwed her over when they were kids. For sure. Yeah.
And Jimmy said that he misses her calls and talking with her.
Oh.
Since 2011, he has been waiting for a parole hearing, but at this point, no success. He's been rescheduled multiple times, but a hearing is now set to take place in July of 2026.
Well,
hopefully it goes well for him. I mean, he's spent more life in jail than he has like living on the outside.
Yeah. And he still seems to have kind of a,
like a pretty good perspective. Good
spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. He potentially won't be eligible for release until 2028. It's just like fucked up.
It's fucked up, but I mean, he spent so much time, he's probably like, okay, I can wait a little bit longer.
Yeah. But
that sucks.
Yeah. So that's the story of the completely like different, it's a different story from the headlines of like,
yeah,
guy created a flood to party without his wife. Like that really wasn't the case. And that
was, 'cause he went and rescued her.
That was seriously just like a hearsay thing from a 16-year-old who, like, is he reliable? I mean, are any 16-year-olds reliable? I don't fucking know.
But at 16, people would be like, "Will you have your mom call me back?" And I'd say, "Yeah," and then I'd forget. I was as reliable as
to take as that as kind of like fact is crazy.
Yeah,
to be like, "Well, that's his motive," and then it's all circumstantial evidence. Wild. So hopefully this July he gets his parole hearing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm probably going to like look it up again because I'm like,
yeah, to find out what happened.
Because when I was listening to the criminal episode, like that was done in like 2017, they were like, he's not on parole until 2023. And then I'm like, is he out? Like what happened? And then I'm like, oh, it's just been rescheduled and rescheduled and rescheduled. So
he hopefully still doesn't get rescheduled.
Hasn't even had a parole hearing. So I know.
Well, we'll post pictures of him.
We'll post pictures of Jimmy. And it just sucks because it's like it kind of like made me sad where he was like, you know,
we should put pictures of, like, the levee, like, the area.
Oh, for sure. No, I'll post the pictures of the flood because I was shocked. I was like, that's not just like a house flood. I thought it was, like, a house flood. And I was like, that's, like, a fucking, like, 2-3-city flood.
Oh, that sucks. But yeah, that'll be on Instagram at Mysterious Mavens Pod, just on Instagram.
And if you have any, like, suggestions or comments, feedback, you know, whatever, honestly, self-care tips, whatever you want to do, you can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Also, we are trying to upload on YouTube. My computer just doesn't want to be a active participant in life. We'll figure it out, but we have a few episodes more videos on there. Yeah.
Because it is fun.
It is fun to post the videos. It is, yeah. And we also have Facebook and TikTok, and we'll try to be more active on those, except for I post questions and nobody answers them except for like your husband one time.
Oh, it's Facebook, like, ew. Anyways, no shame if you're on Facebook, I guess.
But rate us 5 stars, please, and tell your friends.
Yeah. And if you want stickers, let us know.
Yeah.
We've got stickers. We got 2 different kinds.
So. Yeah. And we haven't even unveiled one of our logos on there yet. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we want to just make that our logo?
We'll talk off air. You guys don't need to hear it.
Anyways, self-care yourself.
All right. Bye.
Okay.